This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Wednesday hump day, life is freaking grand. Put a smile on your face. We have crested the hump of the week, and it's all downhill from here. We have such a big show tonight. It's one of those things I'm about to tease a lot of things, and I'm not making any promises that I'm getting to everything. Here's what we're going to do. I am reluctantly, because of a conversation I had this morning with a congressman, I am reluctantly going to talk about the Epstein stuff from yesterday, and then I'm moving on. I honestly don't even feel like it, but I feel the need to tell you what I know and just express something, and then we're going to move on. Hopefully that'll just be a few minutes, maybe a couple segments. I don't know. We're going to talk more about affordability. We're going to talk about the communists being after your children. We'll, of course, set aside some time to make fun of Michelle Obama tracking down all these poor illegal slave kids in the country. A woman got set on fire in Chicago by a repeat felon. Emails, so much more coming up tonight on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, I'm going to read you something. I am not going to tell you who it's from because I was not given permission to do so, and that's just the way it's going to be. A sitting member of Congress, I was texting with this guy today, and he was disheartened beyond belief. This guy is one of the good ones, and contrary to what you and I like to believe, sometimes there are some really solid people there. They're just like you. They're just like me. They want to save the country. They're there to do some good. And he sounded close to retirement, I'll be honest with you. That's how crushed he was. In fact, I probably don't need to read it exactly. What was he crushed about? Because, you know, we had that big Epstein vote last night. It was something like 427-1. We had the big Epstein vote. The House voted, hey, release the files. The Senate voted. Okay. Sounds good. So what's the problem? Well, let me walk you through this in case you've kind of been out of the news. There is a congresswoman by the name of Stacey Plaskett. She's a congresswoman from the Virgin Islands. I know it's weird. It's okay. Well, Democrats thought they were going to hurt Trump and hurt Republicans with the release of all this Epstein stuff. But it turns out that Stacey Plaskett was so close with Jeffrey Epstein that while she was having a meeting, a committee meeting, meaning she's interrogating someone, someone's standing in front, sitting in front of her, and she's asking them questions under oath, Epstein is texting her the questions to ask the person during the committee meeting. Now, I know multiple members of Congress, and I don't know of one of them who would, I've never done it, but who would text me back during a committee meeting. Maybe they would. I don't know, but that's kind of business time. So as all this stuff gets laid out, Stacey Plaskett doesn't look that great. Democrats look terrible. It's now the story of the day. Here was her.
And I got a text from Jeffrey Epstein, who at the time was my constituent, who was not public knowledge at that time that he was under federal investigation.
It was already knowledge. It was public knowledge that he was a criminal.
And who was sharing information with me.
Okay, well, that's a lie, obviously. Okay, so now she looks bad. She has to defend herself. But it's not really defensible what happened. And remember, this is not my opinion. These are black and white things. This happened. Democrats, because they're communists and all that matters is the revolution, quickly locked shields and attempted to defend her. Here was Jamie Raskin.
Well, they want to give them another headline, which is that they've arraigned a Democratic member for taking a phone call from her constituent, Jeffrey Epstein, in the middle of a hearing. And of course, I don't think there's any rule here against taking phone calls in a hearing. Now-
right? Grijalva, she's a new member of Congress, said this.
I know she's a Democratic colleague, was texting with a sexual predator in 2019.
Yeah, I think it's important for us to understand what that whole transaction was. Having been able to see just what happened with my colleague and an attempt to censure him and Chuy Garcia, I know that, like, most of the time when you hear one little snippet of what happened, it's not the full story. And
hey, you don't have the full story. It just, obviously, as you can figure out, they were trying to censure her, essentially punish her for this egregious thing that she did. Democrats are stopping it. Okay. Jasmine Crockett went so far as to just tell a gigantic lie. Remember, as you know, communists lie about everything all the time. Not just small little lies, not shading the truth. They will look at a body of water and tell you, well, the water is not wet. All that matters is the revolution. So they will tell gigantic, verifiable lies to your face and repeat them over and over and over again without the slightest moral hesitation, because their morality doesn't in any way reflect the morality of human beings. Here is Jasmine Crockett. Keep in mind, as she reads this list aloud, the Jeffrey Epsteins she's discussing, none of them are the Jeffrey Epstein. They all just share the same name. So it's just a gigantic lie.
Folks who also took money from somebody named Jeffrey Epstein, as I had my team dig in very quickly. Mitt Romney, the NRCC, Lee Zeldin, George Bush, Win Red, McCain Palin, Rick Lazio. I just want to be clear. If this is the standard that we're going to make, just know we're going to expose it all. And just know that the FEC filings, they are available for everybody to review.
It's a lie. She knows it's a lie. She knows your liberal Aunt Peggy is dumb enough to believe the lie. So that's why they tell it. Big, gigantic lies, outright lies, verifiable lies, easily verifiable lies. You knew it was a lie if you paid attention to the news about 8 hours ago. A verifiable lie. All right. Why did the vote to censure Stacey Plaskett, to punish her for what she did, why did the vote fail? Well, it failed because we have a problem in our midst. Corey Mills is a congressman from Florida. You can do your own research. He's got all kinds of controversies around him. Not one, multiple. It's ugly. The financial stuff, it's really, really bad. And it failed because Republican leadership cut a deal with Democrat leadership that essentially went something like this. Hey, don't punish Stacey Plaskett, and we won't punish Corey Mills. Congressman Tim Burchett of Tennessee, one of the good ones, no, he's not the one I was texting with, the audio's a little fuzzy, said this. He just exposed it all.
So it failed. And what they did was they cut a deal. They cut a deal on another, on an ethics vote on a Republican. And that's just wrong. If everybody ought to stand on their own. If it were truly, we don't care whose party.
Tim Burchett exposed it. Anna Paulina Luna, another one of the good ones. She said it.
I was wondering if the Speaker of the House of Representatives can explain why leadership on both sides, both Democrat and Republican, are cutting back-end deals to cover up public corruption in the House of Representatives from both Republican and Democrat members of Congress.
Gentlelady has not stated a proper parliamentary inquiry.
Thank you very much, but I think the American people know what happened tonight.
Text I got this morning from one of the good ones, one of the people, boy, do we need him there. Texts me and he says, right out, three words, I hate it here. That's, man. And I knew, he's not one of these wear your emotions on your sleeves, touchy-feely guys. Oh, that's four words. Shut up, Chris. I went to community college. One of those words can, but whatever. We don't need you counting numbers. I hate it here, he says. We went back and forth. Hey, what's wrong? He is there to drain the swamp, to save the country, and to have our own GOP leadership torpedo a vote to censure an evil communist was about enough to have him put in his retirement papers and not run for re-election. Spent my morning, well, not my morning, spent probably 20 minutes trying to talk him off the ledge. Think I successfully did, but spent quite a while this morning trying to talk him off the ledge. Let's talk about Washington, D.C., politics, life, America, good people. Before we move on to so many other things, let's talk, shall we? Before we talk, let me talk to you about another ugly aspect of life, since it's about to get ugly. On the online world, it's ugly in a million ways. It could be wonderful in a million ways. It's ugly in a million ways. And the online world, your data is everything. Everything. There's a value to it. Why do you think every time you buy anything in a store now, they're asking for your phone number, your email address? By the way, you should always say no. Why do you think they're doing that? Because that has a value to it, your email address. But your Social Security number has a value much more. Why do they want something so personal? Why would they want that? Because it allows them to take gigantic loans out in your name, destroying your finances, wiping out your credit score, your bank account, and ruining your life. And you didn't do anything wrong. The only thing wrong you did was you didn't get LifeLock. LifeLock would have told you. LifeLock would have let you know. And if they did clean you out, LifeLock would have made you whole again. LifeLock, go look up their reviews. They've been doing this for a long time, not some scam service. They've been treating us, you and me, right, for a long time. You want to save a bunch of money? You join now, you save up to 40% off your first year with the promo code Jesse. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK, promo code Jesse, or go to lifelock.com, promo code Jesse. Terms apply. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Wednesday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So all the Epstein stuff got voted yesterday, released the files, and then, of course, they came out already and said, well, we have to redact some things for national security reasons, which, of course, begs the question, why would there be national security reasons for Jeffrey Epstein's files? Anyway, setting that aside, they failed to censure Stacey Plaskett, who was texting with Jeffrey Epstein during a committee meeting. Democrats are knee-deep involved in the Epstein stuff. And they failed to censure Stacey Plaskett because Republican leadership cut a deal with Democrat leadership. We'll protect our guy, you protect your girl, we'll all work out well. And the good ones are mad about it.
I was wondering if the Speaker of the House of Representatives can explain why leadership on both sides, both Democrat and Republican, are cutting back end deals to cover up public corruption in the House of Representatives from both Republican and Democrat members of Congress.
Gentlelady has not stated a proper parliamentary inquiry.
Thank you very much, but I think the American people know what happened tonight.
They do. And this is the kind of thing that doesn't just dishearten the good people in Washington, D.C., you've seen these moments before if you've been paying attention for long enough. So have I. You've had these moments where you almost slump your shoulders and say, man, screw this. It's not even worth it. I'm done with politics. Screw them all. I'm not even voting anymore. But if you've said things like this, I want you to know something. I have too. I get it. I have had multiple moments in my roughly 20-year involvement in politics where I have slumped my shoulders and said, you know what, man, screw this. I'm done. I'm going to go back to just watching football on the weekends and just not ever turning on the news, and I'll just be a dumb normie who doesn't participate in my country. I don't care anymore. It's worthless. I wanted to attempt to encourage you with something, though. Before we move on, we're going to talk about affordability and the education system and everything else. We have all kinds of stuff to get to. I wanted to encourage you with this, that is exactly what the evil, evil people in this country want. In fact, lots of the time, that's the purpose of it. Have you ever heard of Tokyo Rose? Maybe you have, maybe you haven't, but Tokyo Rose, she was a woman. She would come on over the air during World War II. Our troops would be out on ships in the Pacific. Or occasionally, if you got your hands on a radio, you'd be on land. Let's say you're in Okinawa, you're in Guadalcanal, you're a Marine, you're a sailor, you've watched your friends die, you're going through hell, and you're looking for any kind of an escape. You can only smoke so many cigarettes, you can only talk about so many girls and food and things like that back home. You're always looking for an escape, and music is one of those very powerful things. Music creates feelings in people. I know you've experienced it, even if you didn't necessarily know what was happening. If you listen to music that's upbeat, you're going to get more upbeat and feel good. If you listen to music that's sad, everybody hurts, you're going to be more sad. Women will do this. Ob does this. If you want to have a good cry, if you're already sad, you turn on sad music and you just wade into it, right? I do the opposite, but whatever, to each his own. Music is powerful. It creates feelings in people. Japan understood the power of not just music, of demoralization. So what they did was this. They would put out music over the airwaves. Japan did this. Music's coming out over the airwaves. What kind of music? All the popular music of the day. All the music back in the day, back in the 40s, that the troops would be listening to if they were at the drive-in movie theater with their girlfriend back home, that they'd be listening to in a bar, all the music that you would want to hear if you're a 19, 20-year-old man. Japan grabbed it and played it. But in between the music, Tokyo Rose would come on the air. And she would say things like, "Hey, all you Marines getting ready to invade Okinawa tomorrow, I want you to know you're all going to die. We've already made plans to kill every one of you. Your mom back home is going to get a letter." Over and over and over and over and over again. Why? Well, to demoralize the other side is more powerful than you can imagine. And evil people know it, and evil people will use it to their advantage. Don't let them get you down. Even on bad nights where you find out corrupt GOP leadership cut a corrupt deal with Democrat leadership so a corrupt GOP congressman and a corrupt Democrat congresswoman would not find themselves in serious trouble. Even on days like that when your shoulders slump over and you say, "Screw this, I'm watching the game and I'm out of politics," take a day if you need it. Take a breath. Eat a pizza. Then get back on your horse. Don't let them get you down. It's verbatim what I told that congressman who was ready to retire this morning. Don't let the bad guys demoralize you. All right? All right. Let's move on and talk about costs and things that matter to you and me. Speaking of costs, what did it cost you? You can look it up if you'd like. What did it cost you the last time you took your dog to the vet? How much? You know, I remember how much ours was. $600. $600 for one vet visit. I swear on my life, we didn't amputate his leg or something. $600. Would you like to never really have to go to the vet, or at least go a lot less? You know, if you give your dog nutrition, your dog doesn't need to go to the vet so often. Just like you. If you eat better, you don't have to go to the doctor as much. It's just human nature. Sprinkle Rough Greens on your dog's food. It is the number one dog supplement in America for a reason. Live nutrients your dog can't find anywhere else. Sprinkle it on your dog's food. Watch your dog come alive and stay away from the vet. RoughGreens.com, promo code Jesse, gets you a free jumpstart trial bag. RoughGreens.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
I've got an animal inside of me.
Jesse Kelly. You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Wednesday, a hump day. So before we get to the affordability stuff and the news and things like that, so I'm doing a little self-experiment. I teased it before the show, and Jewish producer Chris was really mad that I wouldn't expand. So I'm going to go ahead and tell you, Chris, at the same time I'm telling all of the United States of America, even though I'm warning you right now, this is the dumbest, most pointless thing in the world. It fascinates me. The human mind fascinates me. What makes people tick? Doesn't it fascinate you? Not just that people do things. Why do they do things? What drives people to do things? And we've had a talk before about a candy dish. The secretary has a candy dish there. And we've joked about it's always the Three Musketeers left because it sucks. And people will tell you, it doesn't suck, but it doesn't lie. The candy dish doesn't lie. When people have options, they don't choose Three Musketeers. I know we're about to talk about affordability, so I don't want to rub my wealth in anyone's face, but I don't just have one highlighter here at the studio. We buy the 5-pack of highlighters here, 5 different colors. In case you're curious what I do with them, I try to make connections in my mind between stories, audio, and things like that. So I highlight things just so it pops into my head, trying to do a better show. Anyway, wealthy 5-pack of highlighters. The first time we got a 5-pack of highlighters, the yellow ran out right away. Why? I'm used to yellow highlighters. It was always the one I grabbed first, whatever the biggest thing was, the thing I had to highlight the most. I went yellow. Now, I've moved on. Now, in an effort to save money, I'm trying to evenly distribute my highlighter usage. But I don't track it. I just try to grab a different one for a different story or a different topic. I have a pink one, a green one, a yellow one, a blue one, and an orange one in front of me. If you're watching, yes, that's a chalk bottle that I keep them in. Which one's going to run out first? I don't know. Chris says yellow still. I don't know. And what does it say about my mind if one has a bunch left and the other one runs out first? Maybe nothing. Maybe there's some psychiatrist nerd listening who will understand there's some meaning behind it. But one's going to run out first, Chris, and I'm going to be curious as to why. What, Chris? I was right that this was stupid. I warned you it was stupid, okay? I warned you that it was stupid. I can't help myself. I have stupid things that run through my head. Let's talk about something horrible then, Chris. We'll talk about something important and horrible. No. You did it. You don't want to talk about stupid? Then let's talk about real stuff. How about this one? Marist. Now, Marist is a polling company, I should clarify, and a bad one. I want to make sure I'm clear about this. A bad one. Don't do the extremely dumbed down thing we do on the right. And every time there's a poll you see that you don't like, you say, "Oh, the polls lie." We do that every time. And then when we see one we like, we say, "Oh, that's a good pollster." No. There are good pollsters, and there are bad pollsters, depending on the methodology, how many people were polled, the questions they asked, who you actually asked, what percentage of Republicans, what percentage of Democrats. There are good pollsters. There are bad pollsters. And there are sometimes really reputable, good pollsters who have polls that don't make us feel very good because we're not doing very good. I know where you stand politically, and you obviously know where I stand politically. We have to get past that and figure out what's going to win or lose elections. So again, back to this pollster who's a bad pollster. I want to clarify, Marist is legitimately not a great pollster. But they ran a poll on something called the generic ballot. Now, that is something maybe you've heard of before. Let me pause because I want to explain what that actually means. A generic ballot. What in the world is a generic ballot? You call somebody, someone actually answers and chooses to answer your questions, and you simply say, "Hey, Who do you trust more on the economy, the border? Or if you want to go super generic with the generic ballot, you say, who are you going to vote for in the midterms? Which party do you like more? Way generic. Marist, again, admittedly, a bad pollster, just did one. They have Democrats up 14 points in the generic ballot. Stop for a second. You are correct that that's a bad pollster. Even a bad pollster is probably not off that far, but let's build in for the fact that Marist sucks. You know what? Let's way build it in. Let's cut that number in half. Let's say 7 points. That's a lot. All right? That's a lot. Why? Why are we looking at an ugly midterm? Have you bought burger lately? Have you bought anything? Here's a story. It's not huge, but Fox Business: hidden cost of home ownership jumps, tightening the squeeze on buyers. Now, what hidden costs? Well, there are all kinds of costs that come with owning a home, but I have one that's near and dear to my heart. In fact, we got an email. Someone else just went through the same thing. Our AC went out. And I'm sure this is a complete coincidence. Our AC went out, this is last summer, about 5 minutes after the warranty expired. So, too bad, so sad, you have to buy an entirely new air conditioning system for the house. The last air conditioning system I had to buy in my life was years and years and years ago. I admit that, years ago. And I don't remember the sizes and brands. I know there were different ones, but it was $4,000. That's a lot of money. This one was $9,000. When he gave me the price, of course, I tried to remain calm. I said, I'm going to get another opinion. And I did. Actually, I got two other opinions. And they were all roughly the same. Life is expensive now. Very, very expensive now. Now, I didn't get that $9,000 bill and say, that's ridiculous. I'm voting for Democrats. Of course, I would never do that. And you would never do that. I'm not saying that. I'm not putting that on you at all. You're not a moron. You understand there are all kinds of things that go behind that. I know you get it. And I get it. It would never occur to me. I was mad for a variety of reasons, mainly because I didn't want to spend $9,000, but I got it. You got it. I'm not going to have a political hissy fit about it. I am not. You are not. The American people are. They are. And the American people, the normies in the American people, I shouldn't say all American people, the normies in America are the ones who decide elections. They are the ones who decide elections. And that is a frustrating place to be for people who are knowledgeable and people who are involved. In fact, it's one of the most maddening things in the world if you allow it to just completely take over your mind. I'll stew on this for hours before I calm myself down. How is it that we're in a place that the normie morons are the ones who will choose the direction of the United States of America? How can that be? Shouldn't it just be the most knowledgeable? Shouldn't it be you? Shouldn't it be me? Shouldn't it just be us who care? We care enough to pay attention? Okay, but let's not do the childhood thing and say it shouldn't be that way. It is that way. How bad is it? I'll tell you in a minute.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse
USA!
Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Wednesday, a hump day. So ignorant people decide our elections, and it drives us crazy. And I've got a doozy for you here. You want to hear about this? This is from Woke Spy. The headline is, ignorant people want to keep the Department of Education. Informed people don't. Quote, at the outset, 51% of respondents said they opposed shutting down the department, while 38% supported the idea. Oh, that's bad. So They don't want to shut down the Department of Education. Okay. After learning that K through 12 funding would remain in place and that functions would be reassigned to other federal agencies, support rose to 56%. Opposition declined to 30%. Now, it is hard to take in and accept that these are the morons who decide elections. People will go to the polls and vote for who leads their community, their state, and their country without even the most basic knowledge of how those things actually work, of the functions of government, what they should be, what they do, what they don't do, and it drives us nuts. So as you hear me rant and rave for the next year about affordability, about inflation and immigration, inflation and immigration, inflation and immigration, try to bear with me because I'm trying to get the point through to me and to you about what will actually decide elections. And as I said before, whatever you're hot on, it's probably something very, very worthy. I'm not insulting whatever issue you are hot on. Everyone has their own motivations and things they like. Me, you know how hot I am against abortion. I've always just been that way. I'm borderline militant about it. I just despise it. Despise it. I don't demand the GOP run on it. I don't also make this critical mistake. I also don't think it's an issue that matters to normies. It just doesn't. Does that mean abortion, stopping it, is not important? Of course not. It's majorly important. We're killing babies. It's hugely important. Whatever your thing is, election integrity, hugely important. You could argue it's everything. You could argue if you dig into Democrat cheating in elections long enough that it's the only thing. I'm not insulting your passion about it. Normies don't care. They don't care. Normies don't care about Epstein. They don't care about all these Israel arguments people have. Normies don't really actually care that much about taxes. Did you know that? Normies don't care about spending. I know that's insanely sad, and we can go into that more, but I'm talking about government spending. They don't care. They don't. Normies, because they're uninformed morons, normies, they vote on what's happening in their life, in their household. And in a way, that's understandable. I call them morons, but I guess that's the essence of being a normie. It's not necessarily that you're a moron. You just don't necessarily care about the politics of your country. You only care about you and focus on you, which is a bit myopic, but it is the way it is. Myopic is a great word that I learned last night, Chris. I knew I was going to work it into the show today. I worked it into the show in the first hour, I might point out. In fact, I'm going to use it again today. I might use it several times today now that I've learned a new word. Yes, I will. Chris, why are you being so myopic? I will. That's another one. You know what? Starting a tally. That's two. Hang on. I got to write this down. That's two already that I've used. Anyway, back to what we're saying. But there are also things that the administration has got to keep in mind. They know about affordability. They're talking about it a lot now. They understand they have to address it. But here's one that went right by you. Almost went by me. DOE, that's the Department of Energy. They partner with Microsoft to do what? Well, you've heard of Three Mile Island nuclear reactor. By the way, nobody died in that disaster. I know they lied to you about all that, but no one died. It was fine. It all worked fine. But anyway, Three Mile Island got shut down. They're going to fire it back up again. Sweet. All right. They're giving $1 billion loan out. Sounds good. Microsoft is involved. Great. Sounds good. Get those energy costs down. We need more nuclear power. Should be going on all over the country. Ooh, except Microsoft is going to buy all the energy from it for the next two decades. This is all about AI data. This is about data centers is really what it's about, which we've discussed before on the show. These data centers are enormous. They can't possibly build them fast enough. They're also energy suckers like you cannot believe. They just hoover up energy. We don't have enough energy to power them fast enough. So I understand the game. Microsoft is going to get it. Microsoft's going to figure out how everything gets built, and Microsoft's going to get all the power from it for two decades. I understand that. Now, that's the kind of thing that looks good on the bottom line of the country, but doesn't look good on your bottom line or my bottom line. And I know there are all kinds of reasons for it. I get it. But that's the kind of thing that's going to hurt us in the midterms. How about we just built 30 new nuclear reactors and it's all going to bring down your power bill every month. Next month, your power bill is going to be 20% less because we just got a nuclear reactor on board. Boom. Now we're talking, baby. Now we're ready for the midterms. Nobody in the midterms is going to go to the polls and vote for the GOP because Microsoft got their own nuclear plant. We have got to stay focused, at least our elected officials. You can still focus on what you care about, obviously. It's not my job to tell you. And I'm going to stay focused on what I care about. But we have got to make sure kitchen table issues remain at the forefront because the normies don't know any better. They know about the cost of burger. And beyond that, they don't know squat. All right? They know relief factor works. That's good. I'm at least happy the word has gone out. You know, 1 million people have tried it. Over 1 million, actually. Over 1 million. Why has this company, this small company, how have they blown up like this? Over 1 million people already? Because the word goes out. That's not just from me. It's not just me telling you. All I tell you is to go buy 3 weeks of it. After that, I can't help them out. Either it works or it doesn't work. It's a supplement you take every day for 3 weeks. It's not drugs. You take it for the pain that holds you back from doing the things you want to do, the daily chronic pain that hurts your life. Why have they gotten so big? Because it works. Did you know nearly 70% of people call and order more? You have a pain solution right there. All you got to do is go to relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. $19.95 to take away that back pain. How's that sound? $19.95. Relieffactor.com. All right. We're going to talk a little bit more. I touched on it yesterday about that treasonous video Democrats put out. Next.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.